Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Pretty cool. That was, of course, Ruby Friedman Orchestra, Shooting Stars. And do check her out. She had just played here in the Troubadour in Los Angeles. And I have had her on my show a while back. And I know she is presently already in the process of cutting some new material. So I can't wait to hear what that is all about. So, and of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Now, my subject today, before I get into it, I know everybody's wondering, abundance, manifesting, and creating, and all that good stuff, because there's been a lot of questions pondered about that, and a lot of people have sent me multiple times wondering about that. But before I do, I got some announcements to lay out there. First of all, I want to apologize for everybody who tried connecting last week. We had some technical difficulty. It was a pre-recorded show with Phil Koseski about, and he was a real contactee of the Orions, and he had some significant information. Fortunately, it was saved and placed into the archive, and everything was in uniform. There was a glitch, I guess, from our technical side where they were trying to transpose it or whatever, however they stream it over there with my producers. So if any of you was sort of troubled and couldn't listen to it or whether I did do a posting that it is now in the archive, so do definitely check it out. There's a lot of very important information in there, in particular toward humanity as a whole and the significance of the information and all that. And, of course, he also gets into a very simplified way of actually, by listening to some certain material, that can increase your frequency. And they call it the alpha frequency within your brain, the physical side, but also increases your spiritual side as well. And for all those who've inquired, and please do check out my new book, Spirit. It is, you can check it out at my website at andrewspirit.com. It deals with about going astral projection, going out of body. And I will be having, many fortunate signing events. I did a few here in, Southern California and, Vegas, and I have two coming up in August. Excuse me. On Saturday, August 7th. At 1 p.m. at Oxnard Borders. I will be there at the 241 West Esplanade, I guess how it's pronounced, Esplanade Drive, and that's in Oxnard. Again, that's Saturday, August 7th at 1 p.m. And then the following week, on Sunday, at August 15th, I will be in Riverside at 1 p.m. as well, at a Borders in Riverside, at Riverside 3615 Riverside Plaza Drive, and I look forward to that. So do come on out, say hello. If you can stop by, I love meeting new people and discuss ideas and understandings. It's great. That's one thing I love about going to signing events. The other thing that I want to announce is I have a special guest coming on August 13th, which is a must hear. I would say see, if you could see through yours, but we do only. Dr. Bernard Heisch is going to be on my show. He is an astrophysicist, author. He wrote the book, The God Theory, which got rave reviews, and it's quite astounding material. He just recently wrote The Purpose-Guided Universe, Believing in Einstein and Darwin and God. And he will bring into the understandings of quantum physics, the sciences, and spirituality, how they all talk and walk the same, which is quite extraordinary. And also in the works, which I'm really presently surprised and actually happy to do it, I've been asked to do a seminar. And I'm going to have several guests. And we're going to have a seminar in Los Angeles. We're anticipating a date. We're looking toward October. And I will keep you updated for actual dates, times, and where and places and who will be the speakers. So I look really forward to that. And then also those who are in Los Angeles, I will be soon having private classes and teaching Kabbalah, the concepts of Kabbalah and the perspective, the path toward including spiritual concept in relation to healing, guides, karma, or often called in Hebrew the tikkun. Life and death, dreams, out of body, astral projection, Merkava, reincarnation, meditation, other metaphysics within the path of Kabbalah, including numbers, creating, and manifesting in detail. I will let you know, those who are in Los Angeles, where and what there is. It will be of limited seating because it is a private. I want to keep it as limited as possible. because so that each person gets the material and learns, and I do a very one-on-one thing. It is based on the material from was handed to me by Janae St. Clair, of her understandings from years and years studying with her and her husband, Elliot Atlas. I look forward to doing this. I feel honored just to pass this information to what I've learned and what I've learned from them and my previous teacher from the Moa and from what I've learned on the other side. I just feel it is necessary for people who wish to learn that they're given the opportunity to do this. So I just, one to another. So, now I want to get into what a lot of people honor about the manifestation, abundance, and all that good stuff. But there, I have to reiterate some or the universe. All laws are sound so absolute. And so once you do things of absolute, you measure and you're trying to define. But concepts are sort of like sort of an understanding. I think that's the correct word to utilize when you're understanding the universe. But these do apply. And I believe there are four concepts that definitely do apply within our universe. One of which is that we all exist in one form or another, given our souls. Somehow we've always exist, or energy. The other given is, the other concept is we are all connected to each and one another and to the universe and at all, and et cetera. The other thing, number three, is that things all will change. All things are consistently changing. Your cells are constantly dividing, you're changing air, breathing, your mind. There's a constant change. Things are always in movement. We're basically a verb. Energy is constantly moving, changing. Nothing always stays the same. Some people try to, and that's another fact, but that's in reality, things do ultimately change around them. Now, the very important understanding, which is the fourth, which comes into the relationship and applies in every aspect to abundance, man manifesting, the synonym of creating, is for every action, there's a reaction. Real important to understand that. Every time you do something, something comes back, or something's applied, or there is always an action, a reaction to the action. That was really, really, really important to understand. Also to understand, which I had said in previous understandings, understand the universe is quite infinite, so that you have to look at things not as a concrete material, but things of a sort of like energy as it is. It's a proximization. It's a sort of, I wouldn't say blur, but look at things in an infinite manner as opposed to a finite. So, now we have those sort of things laid out as a basis of what I'm going to be discussing. First, I want to get into what is abundance. Many have, unfortunately, misconstrued what the term or what abundance really relates to. And a lot of it comes down to because what's been passed down from parent to child and on, and also our cultural education, societies, whatever you want to call it, has consistently been infused, whether it's through commercialization or whatever, that abundance has to be to do with materialism or money or both. And unfortunately, that is the non-reality. That is not what abundance is. That is the illusion of abundance, of what abundance really is. There is, and I'll just quote him, Bashar, if you haven't heard him, he's actually quite significant. I actually saw him back in June 19th here in Los Angeles. He had made up a really quite gifted quote, and it so applies to abundance. He had said that abundance is the ability to do what you need to do when you do it. I never heard it said so simply. I love when there's simplicity because it just, it's very, people make things complex and things aren't really as complex as they really are. It's really, really, that's all it is. The ability to do what you need to do when you do it. It's the ability. stability. That's it. What you need to do when you need to do it. That's really important. Ability, what, and when. That's it. And there was no mention of money or anything like that or materialism. It is the ability. It is the opportunity. It's providing the opportunity. Where I paraphrase Bashar, what you need to do when you do it. You know, and it could, now it could be money that is, but there could be other means that provide you. So you have to have open a mind. You know, let's say, like, another thing, well, let me just say this about abundance. Some people have this meism about abundance, which, you know, it's understandable. You need to, you want something. It's sort of a meism. You can't deny a desire that you have. And it's not to be so egotistical that you have certain things you want to do. I mean, if you were wanting to desire, have to have some ego or some desire to learn and become aware of things in your universe around you, that is part of you. It's part of your individuality. Nothing to say, oh, that's bad that you have some kind of ego. Because if you didn't have ego, you'd basically be like a rock. You would not have any desires. You would not, you know, desire to see and learn. You would not have desire to be with somebody. You would not have desires, you know, it's a normal. It is part of you. And you cut it off, that part off, you end up becoming not, you disavow what you are as a human, as your soul, because you are a part of feelings. You are yourself. Disavowing yourself, which I don't want to get into. So, but if you want something, let's say you're a singer in a group, and you want to go on to stage and go around, you know, and somehow facilitate that. Well, most people, the person that's in this situation, for example, would say, hey, I need to go and I need some money so I can get around, you know, and provide us, you know, where we, you know, for this, go on tour and go to this show, that show, and this show, and that show. So the question is, how do you manifest this abundance? And see, they're looking at it the wrong way. They're going, the abundance they're looking at just of money. What if there is $1,000 thrown here and it provides you to get to the stage? But now you're limiting yourself because they think that you have to get the money yourself, get it, in order to pay for it. What if it was somebody else's money who decided to pay for you? Or what if it was just somebody just said, hey, you know what, we want you to have a show anyway, come on over. There, or somebody signs you on their distributing. And so there's many methods. You can't just, even there's other, there's different ways. You got to think always outside the box. It could become from all kinds of sources. You can't think of things. So like I said, abundance is providing you the ability, the opportunity, what you need to do when you need to do it. You need a car. You say, I need a car. That's, okay, I need a car. But if you were saying, hey, I need the money to get the car, that's limiting you. Now, if you said I needed a brand new car, of course, I'll get into the specifics of creating manifesting. The car that you need, what if somebody gave you a car? That could happen. Or you want a car. Or, of course, you can have money for a car. Or maybe somebody gave you a job that provided you money to get the car. Or an opportunity. Get it? See, it's just opportunity. They're different doors. All it is doors. That's what abundance is creating doors. That's abundance. The doors. And, of course, you're walking through the doors. You got to, with that abundance. So abundance is really, we always have abundance around us, actually. We sometimes not aware that we have these abundance, that we have the ability to do what we need to do when we do it, because we're not opening our eyes, or we've limited our perception of things. We limited ourselves in understanding that these are things around us that we do have multiple ways of doing things. You have to think outside the box. And you say, oh, that sounds easier than done. I've had people say, well, yes, it sounds easier than done, but really is it? You can draw a square, but you can look outside the square. The reason why people think within the box is because they've drawn a box and all they see is within the box. Look outside the box. It's like reversing your way you're looking things. You know, it's like some people say, because I'm dyslexic, some people say, well, dyslexia allows the person to see spatial relationships in reverse. And it sort of does, because me having grown up as a dyslexic, with many people who are dyslexic, we tend to see things in more spatial terms because, for example, in order to read, I don't read, you know, syllables by, you know, like syllable by syllable. I look at the whole word in order to read it or a sentence because I see things spatially. That's the tendency. So in a way, I hate to say it, you have to be dyslexic. You can look at it as a dyslexic way of looking things because then you see things spatially, not as one little small little item. But if you sit back and look everything as a whole, then you see what things really are. And that's thinking outside the box. It's like Einstein would always say. Einstein was a genius who was thinking outside the box. Many of these scientists and artists, they're thinking outside the box. And by the way, it's nothing special. I've heard some people say, well, you're a born artist. You're lucky. You have the ability, da-da-da. And I said, too, in this crowd, when somebody says, oh, it's like they think people are born with talent. No. You've carried on talents from lifetime to lifetime. But everybody has the ability to do a lot of things if they focus on doing it. You know, it takes practice. Some people are a little bit easier doing it to some degree because of their perceptual abilities to do it because from lifetime to lifetime. And this goes into also creating and manifesting and all that stuff. But the reason I get into this is because it's very important to look at the significance of spatial relationships before when you're creating and manifesting. You have to look at things in an infinite way of looking at things. You have to think outside the box of things. And that's really the very important understanding of abundance. And there is a definite relationship between the concept of abundance and manifesting and or what some people call creating. Because they're intertwined once to each other. When you're manifesting, you're creating doors. You're creating opportunity. You're creating situations. But therefore, the abundance. They're like almost like an equation. It's like manifesting equals abundance, or is the product of equals abundance mathematically. So I would say it is quite true that they're all interrelated. But they're really important to understand now, getting into creating an understanding of manifesting, one must understand thoughts and you and the universe. I know I'm getting very basic in some of this stuff, but it's really important to understand these because people jump into conclusions like it's some magic trick and it really isn't. They think it's a secret. It isn't a secret. It isn't. People do all kinds of pure BS stuff, millions of self-help books, a million this, that, and that, that. And it's really, really pretty simple. Things just have to be practiced and understood in the relationships, and that's really important to understand. But thoughts are the elements that are creating. It's also significant between you and the universe. I mean, Buddha once had said that what we are, I don't know his exact quote, we are what we think, all that we arises with our thoughts. We make the world. That's telling us something. He was trying to hint, hello, what you think, what you create. Nothing magical about that. No secret here. in the Bible, or Tanakh, in the first book, which is called Genesis in English, but in Hebrew it's really significantly called Bereshit, which literally means what? Creation. And there's a hint there too. Not much of a hint. Just basically tells you. I mean, basically, Bereshit or Genesis was the story of Adam and Eve, was telling the relationship between humanity with the universe. It was, that's the real thing, not the, that we were from Adam and Eve. But that was really the significant relationship of many concepts. And one of the concepts, which was nobody can get, because if you read in Hebrew, it says right in front of your face, is when mankind was made in God's image, there was a hint. It wasn't that man is God, because God is basically is of the universe. We're all of God. It's infinite. We're all connected. We are of God, the universe, us, and everything else. But there was a hint of the image. Imagine. Uh-oh, a hint. Imagine. What is imagine? Image. Imagining. Creating. He created the universe with what? I hate to use he. Now I'm making it sort of personified, but there was this is in concept. An utterance. There's an utterance made out. But before the utterance, the spoken thing, the vibration of the voice or whatever, for came what? Before you speak, before that little word comes out of your mouth, like in a millimeter, you're thinking of what you're about to say. Some people say, like, you think faster than you talk, so you can stutter, or think too fast as you're writing. But first, before you speak, you think. It's the thought. And my late teacher, Janae St. Clair, said something very profound, and everybody probably heard it means time, because some of her things that she said that she coined was like love and light, and she also coined the idea of thoughts are things. I mean, she always said thoughts are things. When you think of it, it's a thought. The thought is not just like this leaves, it's there, it's part of you. When you are meditating, what are you doing? You're using your thoughts. And then you say, oh, I got all this garbage thoughts, so I have to allow them to leave out. What are you doing? You're cleaning out, because the thoughts are attached to you. They're this energy. You're sort of pushing them aside so that you can have a clear focus. When you're not in focus, you have so scrambling of thoughts running around you. It's scrambling energy around you. Thoughts are energy. You are constantly generating energy of thoughts. As I'm speaking, I'm creating. While you're listening, energy is being created while you're listening, and thoughts are going through your mind, part of your soul. There's a creating element going on. Those thoughts are waves. Those waves of thoughts amplify within the universe, creating and dictating information and communicating to the universe back and forth. We're getting information. We just tend sometimes closing our ears to it, but we are getting information from the universe, and we're giving information to the universe. It's a two-way thing. This is the yin-yang, by the way. This is what's give and take. The Zahar Nekava. In Hebrew, they call it, in Zohar, they talk about the universe of God being Zahar, which is the male, masculine, and this human soul, the feminine part, meaning because it's give and take. Kabbalah, by the way, literally means to receive. So we're receiving. It's to get us to receive the information from the universe for the understanding. But we also, Zaha, we also give it out by our thoughts. We're giving out information constantly. We're playing the Zahar. We tend to do more Zahar than putting out stuff than listening. That's probably one of our biggest problems. We tend to not listen, speak too much. But our thoughts are amplified consistently. And thoughts are like speech, music. They pulse in the universe. This is actually now a quantum fact. Your thoughts create energy. They've even shown it like little wavelengths. That's why they're picked up. There have been so many tests about thoughts, changing things, and amplitudes of thoughts. Now, certain thoughts can be more significant than others, which I'm going to get into, and that's part of creating. But thoughts are really important because also you have to understand your thoughts, what to produce, is also the outcome. For every action, there is a reaction. So if you aren't specific in your thought, what will be the outcome? Not specific. If you're getting, what I remember my late teacher, Denny, used to say, if you're getting medicated, like meaning getting high, that's a nice way of saying getting high or drunk or loaded or whatever, what do you think is going to amplify in your thoughts? That thought is now high. It's like morphed. It's clouded. And when you get what you pay for is what you're going to get, as they say. And what have you created? A blurred thought. So if you think of something very negative, you're going to get something negative. Think hate, you think hate. You're amplifying that energy out there. That's why why people say about think of loving thoughts, think of this. You know, and people, well, I try thinking loving thoughts and then it's not happening. Well, there's a couple things involved with that. Maybe you really are. And maybe there's also another issue, which I'm going to get into, which is called the interrelationship with the reaction of the universe, which is part of manifesting. So, now there's also a significance that people consistently, if you're having a thought, and suddenly you change or question your thought, that in itself is a thought. If I'm thinking about, oh, I'd love to have a new car, and then you think, God, but how am I going to get that car? What did I just place in that thought? Doubt. Now I've doubted that I'm ever going to get a car. So guess what the universe is? Okay, you just doubted you're not going to get the car. So now you're not going to get the car. You placed doubt. See, it's amplified. We're constantly doing this. And when we change our thoughts back and forth, what are we creating? Confusion. So what did we just manifest? Confusion. The universe is out there. We're sending information to the universe. Okay, I want my career to be like this and this and this and da-da-da. But am I going to really get that gig? Am I going to get that job? What am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. You just created a thought. You just manifested something that, uh-oh. Now let's say if you were to switch that thought, and you actually, which I'm going to get into, believing it's called the will, emotion, belief. If you now say, oh, well, I really have faith in the universe. And of course you believe it, and you have emotion behind it. Guess what's going to happen? But all of a sudden you say you have faith, and all of a sudden something happens to the test. Maybe the universe says, okay, we're going to see if you really do have faith. There's a door opening, and you're smacked in the face with some eviction notice or something else. He says, God, I've been trying to manifest and create, and look what just happened. Well, see, for every action, there's a reaction. You manifest as an opportunity, but now maybe there's another thing happening, which is goes into karma. So sometimes the little road that you try to create in the door, there's a door you create, but to get to the door, there might be a little bump in the road, as they say, and it is just a bump or a forest that you're not aware of. But again, let me get into the thoughts. Thoughts are very important to understand. They are real. They affect you both in the spiritual as well as the physical body. This is a medical and quantum fact. I mean, they've already shown, like, you know, depression, for example. Depression is not caused from any medical, chemical thing in your body, even though people say it is. I know people, women are going to say, oh, but what about I'm PMSing and all this stuff? Yeah, there's a chemical influence happening within your body that exaggerates more things, that creates the situation. But it's also true that when that happens, a thought is created out of which creates the manifestation of a thought, which then you parallel a new thought that creates a thought of depression. So it's like throwing a little spark into a little oil. Well, if you don't have any match stuff, you put out the match, there's no oil to be lit. Even though there's oil, the rod could explode. This is in reality the reality of depression. And so people who are manic depression become produce these thought patterns, and they're called, which then induce chemical in your body, certain hormonal influences and medical things happening that your body feels down and not maybe lost the appetite, or you feel like you have to eat like a, you know, like no tomorrow. All these weird things are happening physiologically. But where does it come from? Thoughts. And it's what they used to say, change your tapes. I remember my Jenny Sinclair used to say, one who has to change their tapes. And it doesn't necessarily happen over time. Change your thought patterns. Because your thoughts are your manifestations of you. You're constantly creating. You're constantly creating things around you, constantly creating elements around you. So if you change the way you're thinking, and everybody has their own, you know, degree of, and as far as path, a way to do this, but it's important to understand, and some are little baby steps to make big steps, but little by little, but that's, you have to change your tapes. And sometimes we have tests to, you know, adjust, hey, wait, you start getting back to the old way of thinking. And that's maybe a learning sense. That's why we're in these bodies, to learn to heal, to learn. I mean, if we were able to manifest completely, perfectly, and everything else, we didn't need to be in these bodies in the first place and go through all the tribulations that we do. So anyway, every moment you have a thought, you are have manifested to some degree. But because sometimes your own thoughts are in your best interest, or excuse me, not in your best interest. The universe has also put a sort of a governor of sorts on there. Let me give you an example. If you can just like, I hope that guy just blows apart because he just cut me off on the road. And all of a sudden, boom, the guy explodes. Well, that ain't going to happen, all right? Why? Because the universe put sort of like a governor, so you can't exactly do that. And it's both to protect yourself and things. We have the ability, actually, to do a lot of those things. And some people have the ability to do certain things up to a certain point. Because we do can create and manifest. But some, they have been curtailed purposely for our own protection as well as other things. It's why the universe is perfect. But we have some abilities beyond that to do creating. And the significance is that we still are able to create and manifest, but we co-create, like I said, co-create with the universe. I said co-create. Because the universe and us are in a symbiotic relationship. This is what I said earlier about our thoughts. Our thoughts are interrelated between the universe. They're also interrelated to one another, by the way, because we are all connected. Our thoughts amplify to each other. They affect each other's vibrational areas. If you're projecting love to somebody, they're going to feel that loving energy you project hate. They're going to feel those loving thoughts you project. A state of worry that's going to amplify. It's like a child amongst, you know how children can be maybe feel what their parents are feeling. Sort of the same thing. A baby in the woman's womb, we're like the baby in the woman's womb who feels how the responses of the mother. The same thing. Now there are three basic understandings. And Jenny Sinclair used to elaborate this. I remember she used to call it the web. And it's really pretty simple. And it's pretty straightforward. And it's exactly how it is. Manifesting, creating. There are three basic elements of understanding. Will it. It means to initiate, to guide. When you have that thought, you will that certain item to happen. I want that car. That initiated the thought. Boom, it's going into that direction. I want that car. Then there's the emotion, the fuel behind it, the energy, the wavelength. Is there a love behind I want that car? I really desire that car. I really, really, really want it. That's the energy behind it. It doesn't have to be, it's that energy. It's the vibrational areas, that emotion behind it, the passion behind that thought, which creates a wavelength vibrating into the universe. And then there's the belief, the velocity, staying on course, being steadfast. It's like a laser guide, the focus, the determination. Because you can shoot that little thought out there. It's got the energy flying behind it, but you have to stay focused on it. Because if you don't, it goes in a different direction, like changing the thought to another thought, or changing the thought in the midstream, changed its course. Like, I want that car. Oh, do I get that car? I wonder if I really will get that car. See? Uh-oh. That's the belief. That's the determination. The focus. And it's also related to chakras. Your chakras, and this goes into a whole different area, when there's manifestation of creating, there's also a esoteric, a shamanistical understandings of relationship when you manifest. And this also is in relationship to your chakras. And then the seven basic chakras, because there's more, but there's seven, let's say, seven basic chakras. And it relates to them very distinguishly. And I'll give you an example of all of them. You know, there's, and they utilize different methods in implementing many people within the shamans or esoterics or whatever, Wiccans or whatever. Everyone uses different methods, and you're probably not even aware that you probably can be doing the same thing, and you're not even aware of it. But it would be, for like, first example would be the root chakra. What's the root chakra? It's basically your connection, your physical side connected to the universe. It's you connected to your existence. So how would that affect? It's also one of the lowest parts, forms of manifesting. And I hate to say it's one of the swamis ironically utilize a lot. Like, by fasting creates that. Because you're, by fasting, you're cutting off your bodily needs, your physical needs. It is actually one of the lowest forms, I hate to say it, of manifesting. It's really not the highest. I've used fasting for cleansing your area, but it's for utilizing, for creating, for manifesting thoughts. That is not the best thing, just to let you know. Well, that's why when people who are starving, they start seeing a lot of illusionary things. They might project things. You're tested for temperance. So a lot of actually, a swami might even utilize becoming somebody by fasting, testing, trying to control their own ability for learning. It's a tool to practice, not to throw out desperate needs of folk. You know, it's a way of focusing, sort of like a training wheel. So you know when not how to manifest certain things. Like for, oh, I'm starving, I need to have that food no matter what. So, but it can be utilized for creating, as well as your second chakra, which is your sexual, as well. And that's out through maybe for orgasm, which in French means literally mini death. So while some you're having sex, you can actually be manifesting. This is where I hate to say dark Wiccans who use dark magic may utilize whole but little orgy kind of thing, or some people who like sex Luciferians who utilize sex in that way. That's a very dark way of utilizing it. And by the way, again, for every action, there's a reaction. So if you manifest something in the negativity, guess what you're going to get? The universe has a way of equaling things out. And then there's, of course, the third chakra, which is, of course, sitting right on your belly. So some people utilize eating certain foods or overeating or undereating, and some establish. Usually it deals with eating of foods, certain kinds of foods, and it puts you in that little state of mind, which I won't get into, but there's a part you get into that little frame of mind where you can project those thoughts. There's a little, like, buzz or whatever you call it, people call it. So it's a quick fix. It's a quick thing. But like I said, for every action, there's a reaction. And physiologically, if you make yourself, you know, eat like a gluttony or eat some things, That's why you can see some people who become very wealthy and you know how to manifest, so they'll get really fat and everything, and the next thing you know, they have a heart attack. Uh-oh. So for every action, there's a reaction. So eating certain foods or too much foods can actually create and manifest, put you in a certain state where you can start creating and manifesting. Some people already have that ability because they've learned how to achieve it by utilizing it, but again, it's not one of the highest forms. It's actually one of the lowest. It's part of the lower. Now, obviously, then you go into the heart chakra, which is within your love cycle, which is projecting love. Love, you know, it's coming out from your heart, filling your heart, utilizing love to manifest. That is a very enlightening way of doing it. But it isn't the highest, ironically. This is sort of weird to say, but it isn't. It's just the reality. It's one of the higher vibrations, better than eating food or better than that. It's love is really good. Utterances coming out of your throat. When you're doing prayer, when you're doing a blessing out of your mouth, you're actually manifesting out of your throat. You're creating. When somebody tells you to write a thing out and they say, oh, this is your affirmation, they tell you to say it. It's actually because they want you to say it out loud, and when you're saying out through your throat, you're actually uttering and create manifesting out of your throat. Again, you still have to have will, emotion, belief behind that. By the way, all these creating elements. So you say it over and over and over, you really got to believe it. But it is actually a higher way of saying it. Using utterances, there's also ways of utterances, not just the affirmations. There's also utilizing different mantras, and you've heard different methodologies doing it, but they do create the same thing, you know. The next highest one, which is one of the highest, is, of course, visualization through the third eye. You actually envision, you see it happening. You envision it, and that creating that thought of vision, you actually see manifesting. Some athletes utilize this. I think Phil Jackson had used this in his boxing. He would have his players envision how they're going to beat the other team and what they're going to do. So they've created this visualization. When they get on the court, these are already happening because they've already created and manifested with their own vision. You can envision. Artists utilize this, but it's sort of funny. A lot of artists do this on paper, on canvas, and song, but they forget. They can also just as well utilize this in many areas of their lives, but they think they can't, and so they feel themselves limited. Others who are successful figure it out, hence Madonna or others. They use a lot of visualization, a very higher method of doing this. The highest form of creation, by the way, is the highest, is through your crown. We often do this in what we call dreams. Or dream state before you go to sleep. A lot of times what you are thinking is what you're about to manifest. When you go into that dream state, you're going to manifest those things. So I had Ben Stewart was on my show, and we were talking about how people can change things around the world. Well, if they think of something right before they go to sleep, it's actually those thoughts are now there, and when you go to sleep, actually when you're going out of body, those information, because maybe you don't know how to consciously go out of body at that time. Your unconscious by going will carry that information to the other side and start establishing and manifesting on that side. So you can unconsciously, though, as well, it's going astral projection, and then which is the dreamscape, and then there's the conscious one, which is, like I explained in my book Spirit, which is astral projection, which is a whole other animal. And you can do a lot of things doing that way, and that's very deep, and has a lot of detail, which I will not get into, because I could do a whole, about three shows in one for dealing with that. And you have to know a lot of certain concepts and have a certain understanding of concepts in astral projection in order to get in detail and by those. So, but I said there's for every action, there's a reaction. And it, just as well as in the universe, we have the light and dark. Each side affects the other. Dark side of creating versus the light side. I mentioned it. There's, you know, things people think of something negative and think of something positive. Those are two sides. And for every action, there's a reaction. That's, like I said, applies in relation to both the dark and the light. So if you manifest and create something of love, perhaps somebody was doing the opposite of something hate. they might react to it. It's not to say you should don't project love and think of things, loving thoughts. Opposite, you should generate that. Because if more people think of the loving thoughts, it'll generally affect the vibration and frequency. It's called a balance. If you have 10 people thinking love and 10 people thinking hate, it ends up equal divide. If you have 100 people, 15 people thinking hate and 5 people thinking love, what do we have? Our world, what we have today. So that's really what it comes down to. And that includes when people talk of the Illuminati and then NWO and all them and all this stuff. The reality in the universe, the reality is manifestation. The reality is a creation. The reality is thoughts are things. And our universe is at a constant creation of thoughts. Beings upon billions of people, I don't know how many billions that live here in the humanity, are constantly manifesting billions upon billions of thoughts every millisecond. So think of what's going out there. They are constantly manifesting. People are manifesting. You are manifesting. So what are they? What's being manifested constantly? Division, hate, fear, or love, or abundance? You know, people ask, "What can we do to change that?" Well, there's groups and groups of people unfolding through Facebook and other elements of social networking are producing things like doing meditations of love at a particular time or thinking of love. And this is really important because what it is creating a visualization through the third eye, because when you're meditating, you're actually projecting through your third eye. So it's a high level of manifestation. So if you're meditating of love, you're projecting love around the world. Think of millions of people doing that. It will change. This is, by the way, has been proven. In Israel, when I was there in the 80s, there was a group that did this for about a month, and toward Lebanon during the war in Lebanon, and for that month there was no violence. The same group did this later on. They did this in South Central LA, and with the gangs and all violence and all that. And for that month there was no violence. So it was really pretty strange, and it proved that it does work. And not that it's a magic trick, but it does. Like I said, it isn't. It is just, you know, things happen. Now, things can counter that. Like I said, there are things that can counter it. And that's part of the universe. That's part of the network. That's for every action, there's a reaction. But in real terms, it is significant. You know, if people are chanting or saying loving things that, and they really believe behind them, and they use this through their throat, because it's their throat chakra, another higher way. That also adjusts and affects those things around the world. That is manifesting. If you say, "Oh, I love you," and you really believe it, or you think, "Oh, the world should be," that's loving thoughts. If you have some guests here who are just projecting hate, "Oh, I'm pro-Palestine, I'm anti-Israeli," or vice versa, what are you projecting? You're projecting hate. And it's coming on your throat, so you're projecting already negative things. If you're projecting, "Hey, let's figure a way to get these two brothers together, having peace and stuff," what's that? You're now projecting love. This is why I say those are the real peacemakers. That's what I'm saying. Be projecting and talking of real love, real peace, real humanity. Because those are the real things. If you're talking a division or anything of separation, it's the opposite. Now you just manifested the opposite things, and it's coming on your throat. That happens in the part. Now, also a really important element, because I'm fading to a close, is understanding that creating is the same energy as healing. Healers are creators. They may not even know it. I've noticed this. Well, it's true. Most people who are able to manifest really easy, because they're, you know, like I said, are easier to. So, because reading, by the way, is the readers is reading is opposite from creating. Manifesting is pushing out. Reading is coming in. So creating is just out energy. The same thing as healing. You're sending energy to the person. It's the same exact energy that's being utilized. So healing humanity is creating for the humanity. You're just sending thoughts of loving energy. You're actually healing the energy. You're manifesting thoughts. When somebody's using their hands and they're allowing the energy to come and they're shooting that energy, they're using that thought. Their thought with the element of what they're doing. It's the thought behind it. How many times you're doing it, which is another whole issue. But it's the thought of the love toward humanity. It's just the love. this is what's generating the increase, or more correctly, creating and manifesting the increase in frequency in humanity. This is what should be propounded upon humanity and you as an individual as part. You can utilize this as your individual things that you need at the ability to create your abundance. Like I said in the very beginning, you know, create the abundance, the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Hence what Bashar said. You know, but at the same time as abundance, it's also creating the abundance for humanity. The ability for humanity to heal itself. The ability for humanity to become one. The ability to recognize and respect one another. The ability for humanity to open doors to one another. And there's always a counter side. Like for every reaction, there's a reaction. You're going to have people on the dark side who will say very negative things, make up pure bullshit. You know, oh, they're Zionists or they're Illuminati or there's a, you know, it doesn't really matter because guess what? They're you. You know, whatever you're going to say, anything negative or make up, even if some of it's all bullshit, it's still you. You're part of them. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality. That's the universe. We're all connected, right? So if you got a, you know, so the function is, if you were to increase your frequency, you're utilizing your thoughts. By pushing up your frequency, what would happen to those who are, let's say, manifesting less frequency? That will affect their frequency. It will raise their frequency. And they have only one other choice, to stay within this element called Earth or dissipate if this frequency within our element of Earth changes. That's how manifestation works, both as an individual and as a collective as a whole. So I hope everybody understands this. Increasing your frequency is hence your ability to manifest. And I said ability, like, you know, abundance. So I hope everybody understands that. And if you got any questions, give me a holler. flyingpigs@artlover.com. I will try to answer you as best I can. Please do check out my, you can always go to my website, andrewincognito.com. And please do check out my newest book, Spirit. And you can check that out, andrewspirit.com. And I hope you enjoy it. God bless you all. Have a great and fabulous week. And stay, hang around with Ruby Freeman Orchestra. God bless you all. And thanks for listening.
I'm busier than you are, so don't expect a call. Everybody wants some, but no one gets it all. So I'm tired. That's why I let you hang around. You cut the pain in half.